First Thessalonians, I really thought that this evening I might finish up the series on When My Heart Is Overwhelmed. I've got one more message, the Lord willing, to finish that up, and I kind of look forward to that. But I was reading this morning in this text, and it just, I don't know how to explain it. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and sweeter and sweeter. And I thought, especially after the day on Sunday, the good day that God gave us, I might share some things with you concerning the man of God tonight. I guess it might be a portrait of a man of God, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. He says, I'm just going to read the chapter, and we'll be going right on through the chapter, the Lord willing. He said, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." I'll tell you, isn't that a good thing to know, amen, that when we're walking in the will of God and trying our best with the help of God to accomplish the work of God, that it's not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know. That's the second time he's used that little phrase, as you know. Nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you. Listen to some of this language. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and blamably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, here it is again, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. There's another analogy. Now, he said that you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye have also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." That's 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Let's pray just a moment. Our Lord, I need your help. Lord, I pray that some way, the spirit of the study today would be carried to this pulpit tonight. Lord, help me to share, Lord, that it might be a blessing to these that are gathered here tonight. Lord, we see a portrait in this chapter of a man of God, the Apostle Paul. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would understand and glean some things. Lord, that would help us to maybe know how to pray a little better, a little clearer, a little more precise. Would help us, Lord, to know what to look for and know, Lord, what we have, our Father. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this lesson tonight, and God will give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I believe that outside of the Lord Jesus, that the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the face of this earth. Amen. I believe that. And tonight, as we look at some things here in the Scripture, I want to just call your heart and your mind to him. I think one of the things that blessed my heart so much today as I studied this chapter is that I found myself just saying, Lord, help me to be more like that. Help me to be more like that. Help me to be more like that. As I saw this portrait in his life. There's just a couple of things as we go through it tonight. First of all, I will give you three things. Number one, the preacher's exhortation. Number two, the pastor's affection. And then number three, the people's reception. The people are going to receive what the Apostle Paul is giving them in this chapter. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight as we just try to go down line upon line and precept upon precept and show you some of the truths tonight that God has shared with us in this chapter. When he said, yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. That word was right there in the Greek actually says it means has been and is, that it has not been in vain and it is not in vain. Even right now, it's still not in vain. You know, sometimes we can read something from the Bible and say, well, you know, thank God Paul's ministry wasn't in vain. Well, if we're serving the Lord, our ministry's not in vain either. Amen? It's not in vain. He said, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? A work of faith and a labor of love is never in vain. So the preacher is exhorting here in chapter number 2. And he's got a couple of things on his mind in his exhortation. Number one, his exhortation is not just coming from a book. It's coming from experience. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible said here, even after we had suffered before in verse number 2, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. You see, Paul had been beaten. Paul had been imprisoned at Philippi. He wasn't just speaking out of something that he read somewhere. Now, I'm not against reading. We ought to read. The Word of God said, give attendance to reading. Amen? But I'm telling you that this man of God, as he exhorts, is exhorting out of a life of experience. He had experienced some things. He knows that the people of Thessalonica are going through some things, and we'll get to that a little bit later. So he's exhorting from experience. He said, we're bold in our God to speak. And not only is he exhorting, his exhortation is from experience, but his exhortation is in truth. See, some people will take experience and make it ride higher than truth. But the Apostle Paul didn't do that. He said, hey, we're coming through here with experience, and my experience lines up with the Word of God. Amen? It's in truth. And the Bible said, and all them that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me show you some things here tonight, please, quickly. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse number 29 with me tonight. Listen to what the Bible said here in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 29. Paul said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that we may tell them off? No. He said, we need boldness. You see what they're threatening us with, Lord. We need boldness to speak thy word, or to speak the truth. The Word of God said, speaking the truth in love. The Word of God said, go, stand, and speak. And God wants us to speak, just like this man of God did. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 in just a moment. And I'll show you a passage here where it's talking about basically the same thing. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 20, listen to what the Bible said here. It said, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds." He's locked up. He's in prison. "That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." You know, when I look at this preacher's exhortation, it makes me want to say, "Lord, help me to be bold when I ought to be bold." Amen. Help me to speak when I ought to speak, regardless of the cost, regardless of the circumstances. Can I tell you something? We're living in a generation where I believe it's fixing to cost a whole lot more to speak the truth and to be bold in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean to tell you, it'll cost you in your family sometimes. Say amen. Just to stand for what's right, it'll cost you. And it cost the Apostle Paul. So he exhorts us from experience. He exhorts us in the truth. He said, "The gospel of God, which much contention." Yeah, that doesn't really sound right, but let me say this to you. God gave me three things right here. Number one, every time the Apostle Paul stood, he was contending for the faith. And I believe that you and I ought to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen? But not only was he contending for the faith, but he was contending with the flesh. I think sometimes, Brother John, we forget that these men were made out of the same flesh that you and I are. Amen? And they had that flesh to deal with, just like you and I have that flesh to deal with. And yet they contended. Paul said, "I keep under my body. I have to keep it under. I have to bring it under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Or else my body will get the best of me and I'll be a castaway." Amen? He's contending with the flesh. We cannot afford to forget that. Contend for the faith. And then he's contending with the foe. He's contending with the enemy, with the devil. Amen? I personally believe that every time Paul got up to preach, the devil just stuck him with a goad and said, "Hey, tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Tell that revelation that you had. Tell them. I would love for them to make a God out of you instead of making God out of Jesus." Amen? And the devil would have loved that. Amen? And so tonight, we see him contending here in the first part of this lesson tonight. He's exhorting from experience. He's exhorting in the truth. Let me give you this. He's exhorting as a result of trust. The Bible said here, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile." But he said, "Neither at any time used we," excuse me, "but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our heart." In 1 Timothy 1:11, the Bible said, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust." Listen to me. I don't know about you, but it humbles me to think that God would trust you and I with this book. Amen? God trusted us with the gospel. Amen? You say, "Now, preacher, that's for preachers. That's for pastors. That's for evangelists. That's for teachers." I dare you to take that up with 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. The Bible said, "Now then, we are, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, so then, we are ambassadors for Christ. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. So I believe tonight, though we're looking at the man of God, I believe tonight that God wants all of His people, amen, to be serious about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It was a result of trust. And then let me give you this. I like this part. Paul's preaching was easily understood. Look in verse 5. "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." How many believe tonight that if Paul wanted to, he could have preached over anybody's head that he wanted to? I mean, he's a smart man.
He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Amen. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He's a sharp dude. Amen. But you know what he did with all of his education? He said, I just put it in a pile and I counted it but dung that I might win Christ. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. I tell you tonight, some of us don't have a whole lot of education to put aside. Amen. But if we did, God wouldn't be impressed with our education. God's impressed with people that will lift up Jesus. Amen. And speak it plain. Speak it plain so people can understand. Amen. My dad used to have a saying. He said, son, plain English is easily understood. Amen. I don't like to go hear somebody preach and wonder what they said when they get done. Amen. And I believe Paul was that way. He was easily understood. Look at 2 Corinthians just a minute. I quoted part of it, but I want to get some more of it here. 2 Corinthians chapter, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to what Paul said right here. I like this. He said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. The Bible said much trembling. I don't believe Paul was much to look at. Say amen. And I don't believe even as he preached that it was anything in him that impressed anybody. But watch what the next verse said. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now watch verse 5. Here's the reason for it all. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now listen tonight. Paul has given us a exhortation. We see the preacher's exhortation. It's from experience. It's in the truth. It's a result of God trusting him. It's easily understood. But here's the last thing, but not the least thing. Look at verse 6. The Bible said, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Here's what everything that Paul did. Here's what it was for. The glory of God. To God be the glory. I believe that's why Paul said, and I believe it's in Galatians chapter number 6, maybe along about verse number 14. He said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I believe with all of my heart, that's what Paul meant when he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The preacher's exhortation, it was for God's glory. I tell you tonight, the Bible teaches us that we ought to do everything we do to the glory of God. Amen. Everything we do, we ought to do it to the glory of God. Amen. That God might get the glory. Now let me show you the man of God tonight in his affection. We see the preacher's exhortation. But now I want to see, he gets a little more personal. And there's the pastor is coming out of the Apostle Paul here. And we see the pastor's affection as he deals with the people of God here in Thessalonica. Look here in verse number 7. He said, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being, here's the word, affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. In another place, Paul said about the Jew, he said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ. I'm telling you, he had a deep affection for the Jewish nation. Amen. And here he's talking to a Gentile church, and his affection is no less deep for them. He loves them. He loves them not with just his mind, but he loves them with his heart, and he loves them with his soul. He said, I didn't just come to give you the gospel. He said, I come to give you my life. Amen. To give you my soul. Now watch what the Bible's talking about here in this affection. How is it manifested? Number one, it's manifested through gentleness. I'm going to say some things tonight. Stay on board. Amen. I believe that, listen, the Bible teaches that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness. Amen. I believe with all my heart that God's men ought to be gentlemen. Say amen right there. But let me say this to you. I'm going to get into it a little bit more in a minute. Sometimes we get meekness confused with weakness. Amen. There was not a meeker man in all the earth than Moses was. Moses was a very meek man. How many believes Jesus was a very meek man? But Jesus was not a very weak man. When it come time to stand up, when it came time to make a scourge of small cords, when it came time to throw the tables over, when it came time to drive them out of the temple, my friend, that's the side of Jesus nobody wants to look at. They say, well, where's the gentleness in that? I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus is a gentleman. And Jesus does what needs to be done when it needs to be done. I believe the Apostle Paul, we'll see some examples of it in a minute. It's the same way in his life. Let's look at some things here. Look at 2 Timothy for just a minute. Chapter 2 and verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. I'd love to get through this chapter tonight, and with the help of God, I will. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And verse number 24, and the Bible said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by Him at His will. We see His affection is manifested in gentleness. Look at Titus for just a moment. In the book of Titus, in chapter number 3, and verse number 2. The Bible said to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, look at James chapter 3 for just a moment. Hebrews, James, and then Peter. James chapter number 3 and verse number 17. The Bible said here, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What I'm trying to get us to see here tonight is you can be a man of God, like Paul was, and have that gentleness, amen, as the man of God, towards the sheep, are you listening to me? Towards the church at Thessalonica, and still be angry at sin. I'll show you something tonight. Look at it with me. In the life of the Apostle Paul. Come over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 5. Well, I'll just read you a little bit of it. He said, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul may be saved in the day of judgment. What was going on, preacher? A man was living in open sin. And the man of God that is gentle, the man of God that is meek, the man of God had to deal with it. Say amen. And I believe with all of my heart, that's a picture of the pastor's affection here. Look with me, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is amazing to me. I looked it up today. Everybody, you know, realizes what a shepherd is. But look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 10. Therefore, he said, I write these things being absent. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. He said, lest being present, I should use sharpness. See that right there? That doesn't sound like gentleness, does it? According to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 21. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me just a minute. We're looking at gentleness, but I want you to understand that we should never, never confuse gentleness or meekness with weakness. Amen. The Bible did tell us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Bible did say, having done all, to stand. Amen. To earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 21. The Bible said here, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a, what's that next word? A rod. Shall I come unto you with a rod? Or in love and in the spirit of meekness? What am I trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. How many knows Jesus is the good shepherd? How many is glad that Jesus can come to us in gentleness when we need gentleness? He can come to us in love when we need love. Let me tell you something about Jesus. When He comes with a rod, it's still in love. Say amen. When we're chastened of the Lord, it's because He loves us. Amen. And I believe when the Apostle Paul understands that he must deal with some things, that doesn't mean that his gentleness went out the window. That just means he's being the shepherd that God would have him to be. Amen. I believe that. The Bible's teaching here not only the preacher's exhortation, but we see the pastor's affection. Secondly, I see it not only in gentleness, but I see it in willingness. Look at verse number 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing. We were willing. Brother Gary gave me some pens from over at Hurricane Baptist Church. He said they're all dried up. Amen. I ain't going there. Amen. But anyway, no, the pens are all dried up. That's what he was referring to. Amen. And, but I'll say this tonight as I think about this willingness. When I went there, man, the parsonage needed to be painted. We didn't really have money to buy them fancy shutters. So I went to the hardware store and got me some 1x3s. And I took me a jigsaw and rounded the top of them all. I put me a strip on the back of them. I made some shutters. Amen. I painted the house gray. And I painted the shutters kind of a burgundy color. It's right pretty, wasn't it, Miss Eve? Amen. And the deck on the end of it was falling in. And you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. I went to a preacher's fellowship not long after I went there. My brother and I got up on the roof of the church. That thing's high and steep, ain't it, Brother Gary? I mean, it's up there, buddy. We got up there and we hooked those two ladders together at the top. We painted the roof on that thing. I was in a preacher's fellowship and one of the preachers said to me, he said, preacher, I heard what you've been doing over at that church. I said, you did? Well, I said, what you did? He said, you're doing a little bit of everything over there. I said, yeah, I guess I am. Hey, I said, you know something? I said, I never would ask my men to do anything that I wasn't willing to do myself. He said, preacher, you ain't got no business doing that. He said, you ain't got no business mowing that grass. He said, you ain't got no business painting. You ain't got no business doing that stuff. He said, well, I'll tell you. I said, well, what are you going to do at your church? He said, well, I might mow a streak from the parsonage over to the church. Amen. He said, I might mow a streak, a path. Amen, to walk in. He said to another man, he said, tell him, brother, tell him, he ain't got no business doing that. This old senior pastor from Bristol looked at him, he said, well, he said, I never would ask my men to do anything I wasn't willing to do myself. I said, hallelujah. Can I tell you what I believe about the Apostle Paul? My friend, listen, he has an affection that's not only revealed in gentleness, but it's revealed in willingness. Amen. He's willing to do whatever needs to be done for the glory of God. Amen. I was over Liberty Baptist years ago. Brother Fred and a fella come through preaching. Amen. He was a pastor. He said, my church is 100% willing. And I thought, I got plumb ashamed of myself, Brother Wayne. I said, boy, I wish I had a church like that. That was 100% willing. I'm sitting there just a minute. He said, yeah. He said, 10% willing to work and 90% willing to let them. Amen. I tell you what, I said, oh, I do pastor a church like, not now. We got a lot of workers around here, to God be the glory. And I tell you one thing right now, I want to try to be an example of willingness, that we might all be willing to do whatever God would have us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God, I didn't mean to preach tonight, but I can't stand it. Amen. I tell you what, this is good. This man of God's wonderful tonight. I'm looking at his life and I want to pattern my life after him. He's gentle and he's willing. It's revealed in willingness. It's revealed in unselfishness. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully, church, please. How many knows there is not the respect for, when I say that pulpit, I'm not just talking about Bible Way. I'm talking about pulpits in America. How many knows there is not the respect for the pulpit and not the respect for the house of God that there one day was in America? Say amen. But can I tell you something? A lot of it's our fault. A whole lot of it's our fault. When preacher after preacher after preacher drops like flies, amen. I tell you what, and people are sitting there wondering, when, who's next? Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you something right now, this man of God is not only gentle, and he's not only a willing here, but he's an unselfish man of God. Yeah. Let me tell you something right now. Christians, real Christians, are unselfish. Real Christians, their life does not revolve around them. It revolves around the Savior. Amen. It revolves around others. And the Word of God tells us here, look in verse number 9 for just a moment with me. He said, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, for laboring night and day, because we did not be chargeable." Hey, listen to me carefully, church. This man of God didn't go into Thessalonica for what he could get. He went into Thessalonica for what he could give. I appreciate everything this church does for me. But I tell you, it'll be a sad day if I'm standing here because of what you do for me and not because of what I want to do for him and do for you. And I believe it'll become evident. Amen. There's a lot of preachers won't preach today. Say amen. They're afraid somebody will sit on their dollar bill. They're afraid to preach. Said, "Preacher, was Paul afraid to preach?" How many knows he wasn't afraid to preach? He said, "I can hoe corn, I can dig taters, I can rake leaves, I can do something to make a living. I'm just going to preach." Amen. I appreciate everything. And I believe Paul did too. But Paul was saying, "Hey, I've lived before you in an unselfish manner." I told Brother Frankie the other day, I said, "Brother Frankie, before you go into those churches," I said, "you pray, brother, you get a hold of God, you ask God to give you what that pastor needs and what those people need." I said, "The people are hurting, the pastors are hurting." And I said, "If you'll go in and feed them, you go in there not for what you can get, but for what you can give up from the Word of God. And God will bless that. God will bless that. God will bless that." Woo! Hallelujah. What a man of God we have in front of us tonight in this chapter. The Apostle Paul. The pastor's affection. It's revealed in gentleness. It's revealed in willingness. It's revealed in unselfishness. Look in verse 10. It's revealed in holiness. You're witnesses and God also. How? That word's hard for me to say, holily. But that's a word. He said, "You've seen how I've lived. I've lived holy. I've lived justly. And unblameably, we behaved ourselves among them, among you that believe." I'll tell you something right now. You need to pray, God, keep your preacher holy. Forget about praying about God keeping him happy. Pray, God, keep him holy. There's too much emphasis in this generation being placed on happiness and not enough being placed on holiness. Paul said, "You know how I've behaved. I've lived a holy life in front of you." Paul wasn't tooting his own horn. He had a testimony. Amen. And to God be the glory. His affection was revealed in gentleness, willingness, unselfishness, holiness. Look at verse 11. It was revealed in helpfulness. He was a helpful man. He said, "As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." Paul helped people. Paul comforted people. Listen to what the Bible said concerning that in Isaiah chapter 61. I believe it's chapter 61. Turn back over there if you will. That Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61. I love this scripture. Isaiah chapter 61, and we're going to read verse 2 and verse 3. It said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He the Lord might be glorified. Amen. Paul knew what it was to help people and to comfort people and to comfort their hearts. And Paul said, listen, in 2 Corinthians 1, he said, the reason God come along and comforted you and I in our trouble, in our situation, is so we could go comfort someone else in theirs. I believe tonight with all of my heart, Paul was a helpful, helpful man of God. Notice this, and I'll go on to the last thing tonight. I notice not only his affection is revealed in gentleness and willingness, unselfishness and holiness and helpfulness, but it's revealed in fullness. Look at verse 12. He said that ye walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. You see, this under-shepherd, this apostle, this pastor's affection is being revealed not in his own fullness, but in the fullness of those that he's ministering to. You say, preacher, listen. Listen, I think this scripture makes it plain. Look at John with me just a minute. 1 John. One preacher called it Little John. It's actually 3 John that I'm going to be looking at. The 3rd Little John. In 3 John, listen to what the writer said here. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It wasn't about Paul. It was about the people. And what brought fullness in his heart was to see them full of joy, walking with the Lord. Amen? Talking with the Lord. Walking worthy of the God that saved them and picked them up out of that horrible pit. I believe tonight that is real fullness. Amen? When we're living, not just to see ourselves full, but to see others full for the glory of God Almighty. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. I'll go to the last thing tonight. The last thing in the message. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 19. Listen to what the Bible said. And to know the love of Christ. Here's Paul's prayer. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. I'm not trying to be mean, but how many likes it better when you believe the preacher's full? Can I tell you what the preacher likes? It's what Paul's saying. He likes to look out there and see some folks that's full too. Say amen. Now we all get fooled up. That might not be good English, but it's good preaching. If we all get filled up, we're fixing to get the blessing. Say amen. God wants us to understand tonight, listen, it's not just about me. It's not just about mine, but it's about others. Amen. Experiencing the fullness of an almighty God. God wants us to be full. God needs husbands to be full. God needs wives to be full. I tell you something right now. God help a marriage when both are empty at the same time. Would somebody say amen right there? How many figured that out? Amen. Some of you men, just like me, you get to running on empty. Thank God the wife's full. Say amen. And that wife gets to running on empty. Thank God the husband's full. You ever both get empty at the same time? That's trouble. Say amen. Sometimes maybe you do, and here comes one of them teenagers, Brother Brian, right full. Amen. Because you want to get up and go another mile for the glory of God. I love this apostle. I love this man of God. I see his exhortation. I see his affection for the people of God. And I want to give you this tonight. What time is it? It's 8 o'clock. I just thought I'd tell you. Amen? The preacher's exhortation, the pastor's affection. And the last thing I want you to see, and this is no less important, it's very important, is the people's reception. Everything, according to what I can read in this chapter right here, everything that the apostle is laying out in front of them, Brother Wayne, they're receiving it. They're receiving it. How many's ever tried to feed a baby that wasn't hungry? Now that gets to be a mess, don't it? Say amen. There'll be a mess on the shirt. There'll be a mess on the tray. There'll be a mess in the floor. They liable to be a mess on your face before you get done. Amen. But I tell you what, How many's ever fed a baby when they couldn't, you couldn't even get the spoon from their mouth to the jar back to their mouth fast enough? I mean, they were hungry. Amen. I want to show you here how that the people in this chapter in the church at Thessalonica are receiving. I'll show it to you. Look here. Watch this now. In verse number 13, he said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." He said, "Every time I think of you, every time I remember you, I thank God for you." Why? Watch. When you received the word of God, which you heard of us. I was listening to Brother Kyle teach Sunday school Sunday morning. I don't know about y'all that was in here, but it was good in the car where I was listening to it. Say amen. I wasn't spitting that out the window. I was taking it. Say amen. I liked it. You say he'll get the big head. I'll let the air out of him. Say amen. Amen. It was good. Teaching us about the preservation of God's Word. Amen. But listen, the Bible said here, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard about, it was Paul that was speaking the Word of God. But here's what he said. He said, you didn't take it as the Word of man. It wasn't the Word of some apostle, or the Word of some preacher, or the Word of some pastor. He said, but you received it just like it was the Word of God. Guess what? It is! It is the Word of God. And when the Word of God is being preached and it's being spit back, here's where a lot of men get in trouble. They take it personal. Somebody say amen right there. A lot of preachers get in trouble right there. They take it personal when people won't have it, when they won't receive it. Amen. They take it personal. But you know what God told Moses? Was it Moses? I think it was. I'm going on memory here. He told one of them over in that Old Testament. He said, they've not rejected you, but they've rejected me. Was it Moses? Was it? Some of you Bible scholars, tell me right quick. Was it Moses? I'm in a good bunch, ain't I? Amen. That's your homework assignments. Amen. I think it was Moses. Amen. But he told one of them, he said, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. No, it wasn't Moses. Wait a minute. It wasn't Moses, it was Samuel. Thank you, Jesus. It was when they were going to pick up Saul. Now I'm on the right page. Somebody say amen. He told Samuel, he said, they've not rejected you, they have rejected me. And I'm going to tell you something, Sunday school teacher, when you're teaching the Word of God and somebody spits it back all over you, they ain't rejected you. Don't take it personal. They rejected him. Pastor, preacher, when you're preaching the Word of God, I'm not talking about your own ideal, amen. But when you're staying with the book and people won't have it, it's not you they're rejecting. And Paul realized something. It blessed his heart. He said, you didn't receive it as the Word of men. He said, but you received it as the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what. You want to be a blessing to a preacher? You just gobble up the Word of God that's being put out there. You want to be a blessing to a Sunday school teacher? You just gobble up the Word of God that's being put out there. You just receive it. Amen. Let me show you here in the people's reception just a couple things real quickly. The man of God, it causes three things real quickly. Number one, it caused the man of God to be thankful. He was thankful that when he preached, it wasn't like in Isaiah's day where God said, Isaiah, you go tell them, but ain't nobody listening. This man of God would tell him, and he said, hey, you didn't only receive it as my word, but you received it as the very word of God. And it caused him to be thankful in his heart. Amen. You know what I told somebody this the other day. Our teens were over next door tonight. I told somebody this the other day. I said, to me, it's a miracle that there's that many teenagers anywhere that would listen to what they hear around this church. How many knows I'm telling it right there? Say amen. You say, what's that do, preacher? Causes me to be thankful. Yeah. Amen. That there's still some, Brother Fred, there's still some. They might be a remnant, but thank my God for the remnant that want to hear the Word of God. Amen. There's still some moms, still some dads, still some grandparents, and it caused this man of God to be thankful. 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 Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. It ought to cause the people to be thankful too. Amen. the Word of God. The people's reception. It caused the man of God to be thankful. Number two, look at the second part of verse 13. He said, which you received, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now watch this. This right here, it's important. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Here's what I want you to see. Not only did it cause the man of God to be thankful, but it caused the people of God to be fruitful. He said, it's working in you. It's, how many believes when the Word of God's working in you? Amen. That it'll cause fruit to abound in your life. Amen. I believe that. He was thankful. And then he looked at them. It caused the people of God to be fruitful. But then let me give you the last thing real quickly. It caused the church of God to be faithful. Look what the Bible said. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for you have also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now, wait a minute. They were faithful. Paul is telling them, even though in Thessalonica, you're paying much the same price in persecution as they are over in Judea. That outfit, he said, that killed our Lord Jesus. Amen. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's saying it's the same here. There's people here that receive it, but there's people here that won't receive it. That's everywhere. Say amen. But he said, you're being faithful. You're just keeping on, keeping on. Can I say something to us tonight, by the way? Let's just keep on, keeping on. Just keep on receiving the Word of God. Keep on giving out the Word of God. And God will bless that faithfulness. And that faithfulness, it's already happening, but it will turn into more and more fruitfulness as long as it's being done for the glory of God Almighty. Amen. Brother Houston, I believe if Paul was sitting on the front bench tonight, the way I've bragged on him, he'd probably want to crawl under it right now. He'd say, preacher, you don't understand. It ain't me. It ain't me. It's that Lord Jesus that lives down inside of me. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. I tell you, if there's anything good standing up here tonight, it ain't me. It ain't me. It's that Lord Jesus that's down inside of me. All that's rotten, you can put that on my account. But anything good, put it on His. It's because of Him. Because of Him. I believe if we're not careful, I didn't say you're not. I said if we're not careful, there's a trap being laid for us. And just like when I was bragging on Brother Kyle, if we're not careful, all of us, it ain't just him, all of us will begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. I said something to a man today, and he looked at me, he said, I don't think so, preacher. And I said, I wouldn't have said it if I'd have thought you thought so. Amen. Amen. It's about Him. It's about Him. How many has enjoyed looking at this man of God tonight in this chapter? Boy, I have. I hope it, if you just got a little percentage of what I got today, amen, then you got a blessing. Say amen. Because I enjoyed studying the life of this man of God. How many believes tonight, even in Brother Mitchell's letter the other night, how many believes that you see some of these traits coming out in that man of God's life? Amen. Hallelujah. I've always, not that I don't love young preachers, I do. I do. I appreciate them. But I've always had a special place in my heart for older men of God. Now I'm 53. So to be an older man of God now, you got to be about Brother Mitchell's age, amen. But I have always had a special place. When I look at them, when I look at a rightly sailing, man, Brother John said, I just want to stay in the field till the sun goes down. Praise God. It encourages me. I begin to think things, Brother Brian, like this. The man of God made it.
Yeah.
Lord, I can make it. You'll help me. You helped him. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. There have been times in my life, maybe you wouldn't admit this, so I will. I wondered if I was going to make it or not. I was leaning the wrong way, Brother Ralph. But thank God for a pull from another land. Pull me back over here where I needed to be. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? I don't know what time it is now, except I guess it's time to go home. I don't know. Amen. I know one thing. I'm going to have to find me an overcoat, Miss Eve, because I'm wet. When I go out there tonight, it's going to be chilly. Amen. It's going to be chilly. Brother Merv, that coat ain't big enough, is it? I was going to say, if it is, just lay it down. Amen. 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 I've got one at the house. Don't y'all go buy one for Sunday. Amen. I just got to remember to bring it. It was warm today when I left home, but all that changed. Amen. Anybody got a word on your heart before we go tonight? Amen. Amen. How many's glad you come to church this Wednesday evening? Amen. I hope you're going out a little fuller than you come in. Let's appreciate God's word more than we ever have in our life. Amen. Appreciate the message that God has given us tonight.